There's 30 pills in here. I have to take one every day.
Albert Knox has HIV. He rattles through the pills he has to take every day as part of his therapy. Knox says he was in prison when he first learned he had the virus that causes AIDS.
It shocked me, and I couldn't believe it, though, but that's when I found out.
This was Albert's first introduction to the very different life of a prisoner with HIV in Alabama.
They put us all in segregation, even though we didn't do anything wrong. And just, we had our own cells, and we stayed there for months at a time until they was ready to ship us to Limestone.
Limestone Correctional Facility in northern Alabama is where the state houses its male HIV-positive prisoners. They are sent here because Alabama is still just one of two states that isolates its HIV inmates from the rest of the prison population. Here, Knox and the prison's other AIDS patients had their own dorm and ate their meals and served their sentences separately from the rest of the population. Knox says that wasn't the end of it.
They have tags on us as well. It's a white band that you can pretty much see for about a mile. And, and everybody knows that when you see a person wearing that, what you got. So it's not like you can keep it secret or if you want to tell somebody, that's your business.
It's treatment like this that prompted a lawsuit from the American Civil Liberties Union on behalf of Knox and the 236 HIV-positive inmates in Alabama. The action alleges violation of privacy and civil rights, among other charges. Amanda Goad is one of the ACLU's lawyers defending the case in court. She says Alabama has given several different reasons to continue their policy of segregation.
They have given a security justification, claiming that there would be threats of violence and unrest from the general population prisoners if there were integration. 48 states have done this. Mississippi, right next door, did it just recently, and there weren't problems with unrest, so that doesn't make a great deal of sense.
A second reason concerns health and transmitting HIV to other inmates. Corrections was contacted repeatedly for this story to comment on this position and others, but refused interview requests. In a statement, the department says the practice of segregating prisoners is a proven system that has effectively prevented the spread of HIV, an incurable disease, within our system. Goad isn't convinced.
That's not how they handle other chronic health conditions. Again, medicine has changed, and the typical HIV-positive prisoner requires medication and occasional consultations with an HIV specialist. There's a need for medical care, but it's not so specialized that it can only happen in one spot.
Kathy Hyers is CEO at AIDS Alabama, which is the state's largest AIDS service organization. Hyers was asked to testify against clustering inmates in the most recent lawsuit.
We're the only state that I know of that has all 67 counties covered. We have this wonderful network. We have good providers all across the state. We could actually provide better care if they weren't all focused in just two areas of the state.
Part of the concern is that there is ignorance about HIV and AIDS in this country, which patient advocates say is worse in the South. A 2011 survey by the Kaiser Family Foundation took a look at public opinion on HIV and AIDS 30 years after the epidemic. Heyer says that surprisingly, decades after the outbreak of the AIDS epidemic, about 20% of the nation still didn't understand how the virus is transmitted.
They still thought you could get HIV from swimming after someone, from eating after someone. So we definitely have our work cut out for us. And unfortunately, as people think that the HIV epidemic is going away, there seems to be less and less emphasis on this education that people so desperately need, especially in the South.
Mealtime in prison was a problem for Albert Knox. HIV prisoners in Alabama are not allowed to eat with other inmates. One day after a substance abuse program with inmates in the general population, the other prisoners asked Knox to have lunch with them. Knox was let in, sat down, ate, and then headed back to his wing. Knox says it wasn't until later that the guards started asking questions.
They tried to find the forks, the little orange spoons that they have, and the plate that I ate out of, and I mean, the plates are stacked and all the dishes are in a little bucket, so it's impossible. I mean, they tried to locate that.
It took prison officials 2 days to decide what Albert had actually done wrong. They charged him with two violations. One was being in an unauthorized area, and the other was a safety health hazard.
Well, the safety health hazard one, they just dropped that one because there was no way that nobody can catch it from that. But the unauthorized area, they stuck that one on me, and I don't see how they can do that because we have papers allowing us to go on that side of the camp to go to class.
Knox stuck to his guns, but was punished for not pleading to the charge. He stayed in segregation for 35 days, lost his 6 months good behavior, amongst other privileges. All apparently because he had HIV. Knox says he hopes his experience can lead to change.
We're not asking for anything special or anything out of the ordinary, except for equal rights, like any other prison. That's all we ask. And that's just fair. So if we win, I'll be very happy and proud.
All sides now await a judge's decision, which could come any time now, and put an end to what amounts to a 25-year struggle for equality. Until then, Alabama remains just one of two states that still treats its HIV prisoners different than the rest of their population. Ryan Vasquez, APR News.